And so, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good?
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatch with the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. We're glad you could join us down here. Hope everybody's having a nice, chilly winter evening, cuddled up by the fire, just busy burning all their intellectual books and intellectual property patents and whatever else. Actually, I guess the intellectual property patents are probably being written more while the books are being burned. I don't know. It's hard really to keep track of everything that's going on. But that's really our job here at Dispatches. We're here to help you sort out the complexities of this horrific system and life that we've been subjected to. That's our goal. I guess that's sort of our goal. That's our goal today on this episode, is to try to sort out these fucking horrific just atrocities that we keep getting bombarded with by this Trump phenomenon, and hopefully do it in a way that can get us to laugh about our painful lives and listen to some good tunes, because that's all that we got, is some laughter and some tears and some good tunes and some jackass bullshit and hopefully some better perspective. That's what we do here on Dispatches. We're all about getting some perspective on the things that are all around us. We try to take the things that are going on in the mainstream and hopefully tear them apart enough so we can have a better understanding of them. And then whatever shreds are worth dragging down, we try to drag them down to the underground, which is where we are, which is the world that we inhabit. And hopefully we can, through this whole process, maybe bring up some of the underground into the mainstream, or at least bring up some of the spirit of the underground to revitalize our ever deadening hearts in this cold world that we live in. So that's what we try to do. Hopefully we can do it on this episode. We have two wonderful guests with us today, two members of the Dispatch of the Minagon Collective. Steve and Lauren are here today, and we're going to be talking about Trump's first few weeks in office, his nominations to his cabinet. We're going to talk about the immigration ban that was proposed and then sort of stopped by the courts and protesters. And we're going to talk about the plots and plans of Steve Bannon, which I think are being vastly overlooked by the mainstream media. And I think through all this, we're going to get a little bit of a better perspective on the whole process and hopefully better understand some of these news stories and these facts and alternative facts or whatever the fuck, whatever that are being put out there. I think we're going to get a better perspective. That's what Steve and Lauren are here for. Lauren and Steve are members of the Dispatch from the Underground Collective. They help me process a lot of information. They help me make this podcast a more substantive place. You've seen them on several episodes lately. You're going to see them on some more episodes in the future. And these are folks who I think are really bright punks that are getting down to the core, and I'm super happy they were able to make time to come over here and take time away from their busy schedules doing a lot of stuff that they do. Steve is in the band Zero Rights, and Lauren is a chef here in New York City, and they're both super busy, and I really appreciate them making time to come over here and hopefully help us understand this disgusting world that we're living in and how we can make it better, and hopefully can support some of our immigrant brothers and sisters who need some help in the process. I want to say thank you to all the protesters out there who have helped shut down this immigration ban. I don't think it was just courts, and it wasn't just some plotting and planning by some Democrats. It was people taking to the streets that shut that ban down. And that is something that's also being fucking overlooked by the mainstream media. And they aren't mentioning the fact that partially these courts are responding to the fact that people went out there and fucking made sure that this did not go under the radar and just get passed without people looking. We're all watching, we're all paying attention, and no matter how many atrocities are out there, we're going to react to all of them. So I want to thank all the other protesters who are out there on the front lines making sure that this just didn't ruin the lives of all the people from countries that they probably don't even know or where they are or have ever been to or know anybody from. Despite all the pain, I think that we can look at that and say the world is not a terrible place and there's some good stuff going on. So get some perspective, keep that in your sight. So thank y'all. Thank y'all, Steve and Lauren, for coming out at the show. I want to thank Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com. You can listen to Dispatches every Wednesday night at 11 p.m. And make sure you tune in to all the incredible programming they have going on at Real Punk Radio. I want to let you all know that while we are only doing shows every 2 weeks right now, I'm only putting up shows every 2 weeks, you can always go to our website, dispatchfromtheunderground.com, and you can go to the archive section, you can go to the subscribe button, and you can make sure that you never miss an episode or go back and look through our archives, some of our beautiful gems out there. We recently did a show with Choky Victim that was fantastic. So if you're into that kind of stuff, make sure you go back and check that out. But bunch of great shows. Flip through the archives. There's pictures over there so you can check out which ones you want to watch and download and listen at your leisure or while you're at the protest or whatever. We're going to get to the episode. We got a lot to talk about, so let's not mess around anymore. We're going to listen to some tunes, and we're going to talk to Lauren and Steve from the Dispatch Collective, and we're going to talk about Trump. Your boy Trump. This is going to be a huge episode. It's going to be huge. Hope you all dig it. Get down. I want to listen to some tunes before we get to the discussion here. So we're going to listen to a tune from Joey Steele and the Attitude Adjuster. That's my Motown hardcore band. We play all covers of Motown tunes. This weekend, my band Joey Steele and the Attitude Adjusters is going to be playing a show for our dear friend Mike Moosehead. His birthday is this week. And we're going to be playing at Hank's Saloon February 25th, depending on whether you're listening. It should be this weekend. Moose plays bass in our band. He's also a member of a bunch of incredible bands, including Blackout Shoppers. And the band we're going to be playing the show with, actually, I think Moose is playing in like four bands that night. He's in Beer Drinking Fools. He's playing with World War IX. He's doing the Attitude Adjusters. And his main band is this band. So we're going to listen to this tune from Scum City. Happy birthday, Moose. And we'll see you all this weekend. If you're in New York City, come out to Hank's Saloon on February 25th. Come get some Motown Joy and a little bit of Scum City. Here it is. Get down. I'm sitting here on a cold New York City February.
It's not that cold.
They don't need to know that. This is radio, bro. They don't need to know. It's freezing outside. We've suffered to get here. We had to walk through fucking 20 inches of snow just to get to the studio today, just to record this podcast for you.
You're welcome.
Listening. So I hope you enjoy it. And if you don't enjoy it, you can at least enjoy our suffering. You got to give them something. They don't even know that we're sitting in the tropics over here. We're here to talk about the most painful thing we can think about, and obviously that's dealing with Trump. So I'm sitting here with Lauren and Steve from the Dispatch from the Underground Collective. What's up, guys?
What's up?
And we are putting our tiny brains together to hopefully come up with some understanding of what the hell is going on. And mainly we want to talk about the immigration ban. So I know there's so much to talk about. I mean, Steve, I feel like you're ready to explode with
every day. You want to talk about suffering? Anybody that knows me personally knows that I just suffer constantly.
It makes you a better person. It makes you a better person.
Oh, good. I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting to reap the rewards of being a better person through suffering.
Yeah, all the suffering that we go through define us it helps to build character, you know? Yeah. So you're full character. what's been going on? You're working outside. You're working in a union with these dudes all the time.
Yes.
Always coming
back to these motherfuckers.
So what have people been talking about?
Oh, I mean, they're overjoyed. Overjoyed.
Yeah.
And yeah. Like, you'd think that with the things going on that people would say, "Holy shit! Like this is bad. This is fucked up." The more Trump fucks up, the more they solidify their support for him. It's like it's seriously a cult. You know, he can do nothing wrong, and I'm just waiting for the Trump Town massacre. Like, please.
Oh no, please. You're talking like some juice drinking motherfuckers, like all just like pile it on. Like,
orange Kool-Aid, man. Yeah. Come on,
you got to be careful when you're talking about the massacre here, Steve, because it's not clear who we're talking about. But you're talking about like these cult members,
yeah,
fucking,
of course,
like, taking it to the next level.
Oh yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. If there was any confusion there.
Yeah. We need to watch our P's and Q's with the fucking, you know, stupid bullshit everyone's reading into on the world. These Trump supporters are behaving like as irrationally as some Jamestown shit is what your point you're saying.
Jonestown, yes.
Yeah, or Jonestown. Jamestown too. Yeah. Jamestown too. Yeah, like some colonial shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jonestown, sorry. Don't worry, I'll cut all this out. Don't worry about it. That's fine.
All right.
No problem. what interests me also, we're going to get to the immigration stuff in a minute, but you listen to the media and you know, even on like Fox and like MSNBC, like when commentators are talking about Trump and they're talking to Trump's like Kellyanne Conway and like talking to all these fucking people. When commentators are talking to them, they're like, what did you just say,
are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, constantly. They're constantly being like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Like, what you just said doesn't make any sense. And when Trump did this fucking press conference, the first press conference he's done in a long time, the other day, right after what's his name stepped down as the
Flynn.
General Flynn stepped down, he did his first press conference, and one of the things that he was talking about was the media, and Trump was asked, like, oh, well, do you think the media is reporting lies, right? He's talking about this leak that happened.
Yeah.
And Trump's like, well, no, you know what happened with the leak. The leak was the leak was real, but the news was fake. He said the leak was real, but the news was fake. And the reporter's like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, what do you mean the leak was real but the news was fake? And he's like, well, in Trump's response, I actually think it was stupid, but I think he was getting to the point, right? He's got this way of speaking to people like through his stupidity, so only his audience hears it, and the rest of us are just like,
we're so confused.
That doesn't make sense. Yeah, it's like doublespeak. It's like real doublespeak.
Oh, yeah.
Like, only they get it.
I will say, this is like the first time, like, I'm watching like all the SNL skits, like making fun of all the press conferences, so, and then watching the press conferences, it's actually not that far off.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, like the press conference could be real. Well, Trump said, he's like, you know what, you know, his basic point was the tone. He's like, the tone of the media coverage is what's fake.
Okay, you guys can't see right now, but Joey is doing the Trump like hand gestures right now.
I feel like I've channeled the tone of the but I actually thought he had a good point, because I do think that the media, more so than in other presidencies, does have a tone. And the tone is like incredulity. It's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, that shit that you just said, like that gobbledygook that came out of your mouth, was gibberish. Like, no one's buying that. So I think there is a tone to it, but that's a tone of like a rational person speaking to an insane person or like a baby.
Yeah.
Like, oh, don't put that in your mouth.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's electric. Boogie woogie woogie woogie. Yeah. So, you know, I thought the press conference was fucking glorious.
I couldn't. I was driving. I actually got off work after dealing with these fucking guys all day. I get in my car and it just so happens to be on 1010 Winds. I'm like, okay, what's going on? I hear that fucking voice and I'm like, what the fuck is this?
You don't like his voice?
Yeah. I can't even. So I'm driving and I'm like, okay, you know what? I should be a responsible citizen and take in what he's saying because it's important. And I was just, my ears were getting red and I'm driving faster and I'm like, I need to turn this off because I'm going to fucking jump out of my car, drive off a fucking bridge, something. I don't know. I can't take this. So I did whatever I could. And I said, you know, I figured it doesn't matter because anything that he says by this point, I know that I fucking hate him. And I know that everything he says is bullshit. And anything that he says is going to be something that pisses me off and that is wrong. He's wrong about everything.
I just think that you're not giving him enough credit for how incredibly dumb he really is. Like, I listen to his press conference too, and I'm like, this is like a social experiment. Like, never do we get to hear such a stupid man, like a genuinely dumb, ignorant person who's so in such deep, like, narcissistic denial, giving answers to complicated, like, serious questions. He has no idea what's happening.
I can't decide if he is dumb or smart. I feel like it might be a portrayal of himself. Like, I don't want to underestimate his intelligence. I feel like that's dangerous.
I don't know if we can underestimate. I mean, his lack of intelligence. I don't know if we can underestimate his lack of intelligence. He was talking about, I think someone accused him of like taking out the bust of Martin Luther King out of his office after Obama, after he moved in. I think that was the issue. Like, someone accused him of that, and then he was talking about how he thinks Martin Luther King Jr. was this great American, and he was talking about the civil rights struggle, and then he was talking about Frederick Douglass. And he's like, you know, Frederick Douglass is getting a lot more credit. He's getting a lot more credit now. And I'm like, what? Yeah. This guy does not know who Frederick Douglass is.
Yeah.
Like,
and Spicer backed him up on that too.
What did Sean Spicer say?
Oh, he kind of just repeated the sentiment. Like, yeah, so Frederick Douglass is doing good stuff. What the fuck? Is he yelling at people and doing what he does? I'm waiting for that guy to drop dead at a press conference. I can't wait.
I think that he is genuinely that dumb. I mean, to not know who Frederick Douglass is and to be the leader of the biggest army in the world, that is some crazy stupid shit.
I don't know. I guess I just can't believe that somebody is that dumb. Like, I know people are, but I don't want to make the mistake of underestimating him.
Okay, well let me just I'm just gonna throw this little Trump trivia fact out there. I watched Celebrity Apprentice. I've watched it for a long time. I enjoy it very thoroughly, and I strongly encourage everyone else to watch it too. This last season was actually not very good because they actually had intelligent people on there, which is kind of a bummer because you want all the dummies on there. But if you watch it in the past, watch the year that Rob Blagojevich, the former Illinois senator, was on it. Like, find the first two or three episodes that Blagojevich was on before he went to prison. And he was a governor of a huge state. And the man didn't know how to type. Like, he was like one letter at a time. He couldn't open email. Dennis Rodman had to show him how to use the internet on the show. And you're like, you're watching Dennis Rodman show a fucking governor how to use the internet. It's magical. I mean, I just don't think we can underestimate the incredible stupidity of these leaders. They're fucking dumb.
Yeah. It doesn't take much to get into power. If you can say what people want to hear and you happen to have enough money, and usually if you're white, you'll get what you want.
Yeah. And usually have other people around to do the stuff for you. Like, he's got other people answering his email. They're not smart either.
Well, his whole team is.
Well, no, I'm not talking about Trump. Bannon. I'm talking about just like, you know, people. Any other person in government.
Yeah.
Where I was going with it was like, Trump just made the mistake of just hiring people then that aren't intelligent to, like, you know, he doesn't have like the support around him then.
He hired his Coke buddies. Basically, he's like, "Oh, we're all going to be greatest cabinet."
Coke buddies. That's
come
good.
On. Yeah. You can see Bannon banging rails.
Oh, Bannon. we can joke. Honestly, I feel really great joking about Trump all day, but Bannon scares the living shit out of me. Let's hold off on him for a second, but yeah. Oh, maybe we should.
Guy looks like a ham.
Oh man, Bannon really does give me heart palpitations to know that he is like one rung away from the seat of power. But
yeah, so he's the intelligence behind it.
Yeah, yeah, he really is, and that's terrifying that we have a white supremacist who's got the intelligence behind it. Let's talk about this cabinet. The whole point of this was to talk about the immigration ban, which we're going to get to, I promise. But let's talk about the cabinet for a second, because the cabinet is the richest cabinet in the history of America. They I've heard pundits say, and I feel fair enough to like not actually know facts anymore.
Yeah.
Because the leader of the free world, he got caught up in some bullshit fact the other day, and he was like, Trump was like, "Oh, I won by the largest margin
of electoral
yeah. college votes since Reagan." And then in the press conference, the guy's like, "No, actually, that's not true."
Yeah.
There are several people since Reagan who had larger, and yours is one of the lowest, actually, margins. And he's
three
like,
out of four.
Yeah. And all those facts don't matter. I agree with Trump. Those don't matter. But his response to that was great. His response to that was like, "Oh, well, I heard that. I mean, I didn't see it with my own eyes.
Just heard it.
I've heard that said, you know, and he's like, "Well, where did you hear it?" He's like, "Just like around."
Yeah.
Just like, I don't know, like, I didn't see it with my own eyes. Like, someone told me that.
Like, Facebook newsfeed. Somebody posted about it.
Someone must have given me the wrong information.
I think Joey Steele gave him that information.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
He's like, "Go say this on TV, please."
That kind of shit is just, like, so perfectly American. Like, you don't have to know any facts.
No.
Yeah.
So I'll just continue down that road, Mr. Trump. Thank you very much. I have heard, I haven't seen the information, but I have heard that this is, if you added up the wealth of every cabinet member in the history of America, it would still be less than the wealth of this single cabinet.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, that's insanity.
Hillbillies elected this fucking guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would you do that? Too many episodes of Beverly Hillbillies. Like, they're not on your side, homie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me just say, for some reason, people like us, like, we understood, and we've understood since he named these people as his choices for cabinet, that they are incredibly wealthy, that they're incredibly underqualified or unqualified at all. But for some reason, like, I don't know what it is, but like, somebody was asking me the other day, I do have some coworkers that they do like to hear my side. And they're like, "Oh, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that?" And they're genuinely like just curious. Mm-hmm. And the guy said, "Well, what's so bad about these cabinet people?" He's like, "What do you mean they're unqualified?" And I had to go through like every single person about, not only are they not qualified, but they are actually like in the past they've been completely against the departments that they've been assigned
some of them,
to.
Yeah. Multiple.
And this is complete out of left field news for these people. Like, they don't know. Like, how do you not know this shit?
I don't want to know.
I mean, but they have to know about some of them. Like,
no, I mean, DeVos. I mean, who doesn't know about DeVos?
DeVos is Betsy DeVos is against public education, and she's now in charge of public education.
Yeah.
But that's, to me, less obvious than the motherfucker who, Rick Perry.
Yeah.
Right? Rick Perry was in the fucking debates to become president. Mm-hmm. He said he wants to defund the energy department or whatever he was working for now.
Yeah.
And now he's leading that department. Like, if you paying attention to this, now we're not talking like 50 years ago, this election cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy who is now running that department wants to destroy it. Or the EPA, which I think is the worst one. Like, the guy who's been on record of being like, "I want to destroy this agency."
Destroy the agency that I can't remember the name of.
Yeah, that was Rick Perry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but the EPA guy, he explicitly is like, "I want to destroy the EPA."
Pruitt, yeah. And he's tried suing them a number of times.
And so, he's, the best thing about Rick Perry is that he doesn't know what agency he's worked for. But Pruitt actually knows what he wants to do. He's terrifying.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's like four or five of those like cabinet members, which are really simultaneously to me personally, and I'm not speaking for either of the other guests here. It's terrifying and also really exciting.
Yeah. Well,
and I think that there's a little bit of other right-wing people who agree with that. They're like, oh, maybe they can do something. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah.
It's different.
Yeah. But to me, as someone who doesn't want to see the future of America as an imperialist empire, I don't think that they're going to do anything but destroy the country these people love.
Yeah. But, which is awesome. But really, though, I mean, who's going to suffer is the problem.
Yeah.
They're not going to suffer, and their rich friends aren't going to suffer. It's going to be all, well, you know.
No, they definitely are, and not in the immediate sense. But, yeah. You know, here's the thing, Steve. These people actually do want America to be great again. They're just so dumb that they think that the making America great again means, like, fucking over the rest of the world.
Yeah.
But what they're going to do is actually, by maintaining this ideology, they're going to destroy their futures for their children or whatever.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of these people just kind of see America as being self-sustaining. Like, they don't want to realize that we depend on relationships with other countries. Like, they don't get that. Like, this is how it works. Like, getting people to come work for us from other countries, like, it is what, like, helps our industry grow.
Yeah.
And they're just not seeing it. And until we, like, break all these ties with all these different countries and it's not great again, they're not going to get it.
Yeah, I heard some Republicans along the border who were talking to, not obviously not all of them, but there were some Republican Party officials, and maybe this is because I'm, like, saturated into, like, you know, liberal media or radical media. And they were talking to some Republican representatives who were like, this wall will be horrible for the economies of Texas and the surrounding areas. And it will devastate the economy. We business owners rely on selling and trading with Mexico. There's a huge fucking, huge sources of funding and huge finances. So, like, you know, it might be a good idea if you're going to demonize a population to talk to at least his own constituents who interact with that population.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's not going to talk to that population. But. All right, let's take a little break for a second. Let's listen to a tune, and we're going to get to the rest of the conversation. So, get down. We've been talking about the main misogynist himself, Mr. Il Duce Trump, or President Trump, or whatever his title is as of right now. And I thought it was important that we listen to a great band here in New York City. I think they're relatively new, and they put out a cover of John Wayne Was a Nazi by the incredible MDC. They did Donald Trump Is a Nazi. This is Sister Munch. They're playing a bunch of great shows here in New York City. They're always playing, and they're doing a bunch of stuff with Punk Island. So make sure y'all get down with Punk Island. That's coming in June. I think that they're playing some benefits as well. We'll have some more information about that benefits for the next song. But right now, let's listen to Donald Trump Is a Nazi by Sister Munch. Get down. Well, Lauren, what do you think has been, since we didn't get to the immigration in this segment, what do you think has been the worst thing in the last few weeks that you have seen as, like, oh my God. Like,
spin, I mean, the wheel. Pick one.
Steve and I have been going off on the things that we think are just, like, hilarious or awful or whatever, but is there something that sticks out in your mind and you're just like, you can't let go? You're just like, oh, fuck, man, I can't get over this.
I mean, it kind of ties in with the immigration ban and all of the cabinet picks. I read something, it was probably a few weeks ago when the ban was released, that there was this theory going around that Trump actually didn't want this ban to be as severe. He wanted to rile people up, get them protesting, get them focused on this, and then start picking his cabinet members. All, you know, like, even like his supporters are all excited about the ban. His like opponents are anti the ban. Like, that's the biggest thing. And then he's going back, which he's doing now, and doing like a lighter, you know, right. ban. Mm-hmm. So he looks like he's compromising, which is the one that he wanted all along. While everybody's been distracted, he's gotten these people into the cabinet, and now yeah. they're there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's totally his, that's like his, you know, whole point. Steve Bannon's been doing that for the whole election, you know, his whole term in the election. He's like been running that way the whole time. It's like, you just fucking, you just throw everything out there that you can, mm-hmm. and then you try to sneak in the thing you really
and
want.
And it's been working. Yeah. And like, you know, I read it, and then, you know, I read that the immigration ban was getting repealed. And, you know, I was seeing all the, you know, the lawsuits against it, and then he was doing like a lighter one, and I'm like, this is literally what somebody said was going to happen and what did happen. And like, I'm just kind of waiting for the next thing that he's gonna throw out there that seems completely insane. Everybody just like rile up about it, get in the streets, and then all this other shit's gonna be snuck in the back door and we're gonna have to deal with it.
I think Steve Bannon belongs in a mental institution or jail. I mean, I think he really is the worst of the worst. I think he should be on a watch list. I think he's worse than anybody who's coming from any of these countries that they're trying to ban. I think he is the real, real danger here. And part of the real danger here is there's nothing you can do to combat this. Like, mm-hmm. the man is using his power and media so well to like help forward his this agenda that he has and that Trump has taken up, and there's nothing like anyone can do because no one is in a situation to combat like the mentality of that. Like, mm-hmm. how do you combat that? Like, you get people to be like, no, look at the real thing. Makes us sound crazy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, look like at the real
crazy
agenda.
Like, yeah. you know, theorists,
you know, but really it's just like straight business tactics. You throw out something that's just a totally unnegotiable, like totally undesirable thing that you want. Like, I want $10 million and 10 cars and a helicopter. Yeah, we're not going to do any of that. And that's crazy that you fucking asked that. And you're like, okay, then I'll take a car. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah, I guess we'll give you. I mean, that's really yeah. reasonable.
And that's
for
all
you
wanted in the first place.
Yeah,
that's all
you were exactly.
And they never would have given you a car if you didn't ask for exactly. yeah. you know, something ridiculous.
You sound rational and reasonable when you do that, mm-hmm. when you fucking negotiate like
the
that.
Same thing with the carrier deal. You know, that was, you know, I saved 1,000 jobs. No, you lost 1,000 jobs. You know, I don't know if you guys remember that. That was like the first thing. Mm-hmm. And despite all of the other bullshit of giving that company a tax break and all the shit to keep those 1,000, you lost 1,000 to, you know, Mexico.
Right.
You didn't save anything. You know, you didn't well, save
he did.
Shit.
He saved his image. The optics is all that mattered to him because there is no substance, right? There is no actual policy. There are no actual long-term ideas. There's just the immediate idea and the perspective that he's shifting. So what he's doing is he's just operating on the optics. He's just doing the fucking superficial shit, which honestly, what else could he do?
Yeah.
Because that's all he is a superficial shell of a politician. So, you know, if you know, things are complicated, things are ugly, things are horrible, but I feel like you got a really good point with immigration ban. Now, maybe this is the wrong way to do that. Lauren has totally proven why we shouldn't even engage the insane immigration ban that was put forward, but we can't like help but talk about the insane things that they were putting forward,
mm-hmm.
right? So now we're going into the next segment. We're going to talk about the insane platform that they asked for. Like, we're going to ban all immigration from these 7 countries and we don't want Muslims coming and we only want Christians coming. And that's not even what they really, we just talked about the fact that's not that they really wanted, mm-hmm. but we're still like, we still have to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, that's our sickness
yeah.
that they're playing on. Like, we can't help but analyze
well,
that.
It's an addiction.
This is the thing though. I mean, it's a matter of like, okay, the politicians are doing what they're doing. Like, unfortunately, we have very little control over them, much less than we should. But if we don't take on these tasks, then we're allowing this behavior to continue among the public. So if we're not fucking telling them, like, no, you can't do this shit, fuck you, you can't, you know, act this way, you can't be treating people like that, you know, I mean, they'll talk shit to fucking anybody.
But Lauren's point is, ironically, if we do that, if we do take issue with what they're really trying to with the crazy shit they're putting forward, it's also debilitating. It's like we're, you know, we're losing chess and we're in checkmate and we just keep trying to move. You know, like, if we're fucked if we do this way and we're fucked if we do that. If we don't do anything, they're going to pass an insane law, mm-hmm. right? Which they don't even really want in the first place. They're just doing it to provoke Distract. Us, right? On the other side, if we do react, then we're obsessing about a law that they don't actually care about. And then they're, while we're being distracted by something they don't care about, they're passing the law that they do actually care about. So we're fucked either way, okay. Which is the brilliance of it.
I mean, but I've heard similar theories to this before about distractions. Like, oh, the media is playing this, like whatever little issue while they're doing this. But, you know, any person, like, we're multitasking species. Like, we can think about multiple things at a time. If you're choosing to ignore something because you're thinking about whatever else it is, that's your own problem. Like, I can say, holy shit, like, I don't like A, and B is going on as well, and I need to fight that too. And that's why I'm fucking miserable and crazy all the time.
Yeah.
Because it's just, there's always something in every corner coming at you, you know, or not even at you, but at other people that you need to.
But I will say, we're a little bit different than, like, the general population, because we are doing things like this. We are debating it. Whereas, like, you know, you pick any random American.
The point of me when you say American bullshit.
You pick any random, you know, American, they're going to focus on the headlines. They've got so many other things going on. Just it's hard enough to get people to, like, even just look at real news topics and not just
bothered.
Like, yeah.
Cannot
and
be
so
bothered.
They see one thing that's, like, insane, and they're going to focus on that just because it's in their face. And then they think, oh, you know, I'm informed. Like, I know what's going on. Like, I don't have to bother about anything else.
Yeah.
They think they're being, like, hyper political. And in reality, I mean,
they're completely missing.
It's a tiny little bit of it.
Yeah.
And also, how many issues can they deal with, right? So, like, there's all of these issues that people deal with. And to me, unless they get radical and they see that there's systemic roots to it, it becomes burdensome and difficult and cumbersome. And, like, you just feel wrecked by the whole thing. So, like, you have to, like, take it deeper to a root. But when you're constantly dealing with these superficial elements, you get overwhelmed by all that. And that's what Bannon and Trump has been doing on the entire campaign. And that's what they're doing right now. And you know what? We're going to end this segment here. It's running a little long. We need to listen to a tune and lighten it up a little bit. But what really terrifies me is that maybe Bannon's doing this whole thing with Trump. Like, maybe he's doing a meta, like some meta level shit where, like, he's pushing Trump out there and he knows Trump is eventually going to fail. But, like, what if through all of this, Bannon has now legitimized himself? He's a crazy motherfucking right wing fanatic. And
heroes
through all this,
include, and I quote, Darth Vader and Satan. Those are his,
you know, and that's
a real quote.
Yeah. Okay. Darth Vader's pretty awesome.
And all of these, like, religious people that voted for
Trump.
And
then old Lady Gaga's doing a satanic ritual at the Super Bowl, but your fucking boy Bannon says he loves Satan.
But, you know,
say you love Satan.
Through all this, like, I can see, you know, Trump failing, right, and him not winning the second term, but everyone being like, you know what, though? Bannon was really the one behind all this.
Yeah.
He did an amazing job. And then all of a sudden you have a nationalist party pop up,
mm-hmm.
you know, a third party, a conservative party that's like, you know, the Nationalist Front in France.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a lot of these other parties that are popping up all across the country in Austria and other places. And, you know, now you have a figurehead who's been legitimized. He's been in the seats of power. He knows how to run the country.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a real chance that he's able to accumulate more power through that. I think that's the real danger of all of this. And, you know, that's the meta game we're playing right now. That's the distraction and then the real front.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Trump's just getting a game played on him.
Yeah.
Well, nonetheless, we can't help ourselves but talk about the actual issues. So we're going to, you know, play the chumps that we're playing and get sucked into the bullshit and talk about immigration on the next segment. So let's get down. I wanted to mention that opposite our show in Brooklyn this weekend, where the Attitude Adjusters are playing with Scum City and Beer Drinking Fools and World War IX and Butt Pyrite, there's going to be another incredible show here in New York City that's a benefit for Punk Island. The band, one of the bands on this bill, one of the bands organizing a stage at Punk Island, is run by the incredible Kate Hoos, doing the Hoosatron stage at Punk Island. And she's an amazing band called Lady Business, and they are running a benefit this weekend, which is February 25th. So if you're in New York City, split yourself in two, send one of them to Hanks and send one of them this incredible Punk Island benefit. You can find out more information about that by going to Lady Business's page. It's Lady, L-A-D-Y, in case Trump has fractured that part of your brain already. L-A-D-Y-B-I-Z-N-E-S-S, Lady Business. And here's a tune from them, And if you can't see them this weekend, you can catch them at Punk Island running the Hoosatron stage. So here's Lady Business. Get down.
Lady Business and no snitches. All you snitches getting stitches. Swimming with the fucking fishes. All you bitches digging ditches. Lady Business and no snitches. All you snitches getting stitches. Swimming with the fucking fishes. All you bitches digging ditches. We were taking care of fucking business. 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 Lady Business with the whippage. Always hits and never misses. Burning all the fucking bridges. Rolling in the fucking riches. Lady Business with the whippage. Always hits and never misses. Burning all the fucking bridges. Rolling in the fucking riches. When we're taking care of fucking business. Taking care of fucking business. Taking care of fucking business. Taking care of fucking business.
All right, so we intended to, on this podcast, to talk about the immigration ban. I think we went to a place in the last segment where it may not be productive to talk about the immigration ban, but still, nonetheless, because we are stubborn leftists and can't help ourselves from like debunking or going through or consciously picking through all the turds around us to find all the kernels of whatever they're being eaten by the monsters that we're fucking stuck in the shit of. I don't know if that analogy made any sense, but if you listen to it again, it probably will. We are still going to talk about this. So Trump tried to pass this immigration ban, and there's a couple of key elements of it, but obviously the biggest element is that there are seven countries where people who are from those countries, they couldn't travel to the United States, right? So, Steve, you want to try to list those countries so then we can all make fun of you when you can't? Or... Go ahead.
Okay. We've got Syria.
Syria.
Iraq.
Yep. You got to talk into the mic, though, so if we can...
Syria, clean. Iraq.
It's pronounced Iraq, but we'll go with it. Okay.
Iraq. Right. Libya. Sudan. Yemen.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm missing a big one.
Iran.
Iran. And Syria.
Somalia. Somalia's the last one.
Okay.
So Iran, Iraq.
How many did I repeat?
Libya.
A couple,
you
right?
Repeated one.
Okay.
Iran, Syria. Iraq, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, Yemen.
Okay.
If you guys can't keep track of that, get a fucking notebook out and write this shit down. It's seven countries. You probably don't even know where these fucking countries are. Typical, they're in Africa or what is commonly called the Middle East. Although that term itself doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. I don't really understand it, but it's like what, Western Asia, Southwestern Asia, right? Yeah. Anyway, so what's commonly thought of as the Middle East? There's no way to get around that, I guess.
Mesopotamia.
Yeah, Mesopotamia. There you go. Perfect. There you go. That's Iran right there. So obviously, this is just straight up like racist bullshit. I mean, it's just straight up, right? Like, why the fuck is Sudan on there? Like, what mentality has Sudan put on there?
Yeah. Supposedly, these are places that have, I don't know, fucking heavy militant ISIS ties or something. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
I think that was it, but like I remember reading something that we haven't really gotten attacked by anybody from these countries. Like,
right.
The countries that we've been attacked by aren't on the list.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, Afghanistan not on the list. Although
Saudi Arabia.
I mean, we're not trying to add to the list. I just want a disclaimer there.
Okay. You know, there need to be more countries on this list.
Well, that was the whole point of the episode. We just want more countries banned.
You know, I think when you think about the major terrorist attacks that have happened in this country in the last 20 years, right? It's almost all of them have been committed by people who were born or raised in the United States. So if we're going to penalize people because they're afraid of a terrorist attack, we can do that by being afraid of Americans. I mean, I'm fine with that. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Afraid of, like, the white male Christian.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so And it's not even just white male, but it is men. You know,
it's mainly
men. It's all men, yeah. Right? So what are we gonna? We're gonna, you know, the San Bernardino. I think there was a couple, but other than that, it's not all white. But it is Americans. Like these are almost all of them are at least mostly socialized on some level, and they're not traveling from one place to get here. They're
here.
Raised, right? They're raised here. So I think that, you know, while the whole logic of like being afraid of someone before they do an action, I think the whole thing is flawed. But if we enter their logic of like, we're afraid of terrorists, one, these aren't the places to be afraid of.
Yeah.
And two, nothing is going to create more terrorists exactly. than this fucking ban.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And
it's going to anger more people from the countries that haven't attacked us yet. So like now they're going
to. D word yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then it's going to look like legitimate when people do attack from these countries. Like, see, good thing we banned them.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Self-fulfilling on some level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is just like how could anything be more ignorant or racist than banning everyone from an entire country
exactly.
with no shred of evidence, just a blanket ban? Like, it's just what's, you know, like, why do you think obviously we talked a little bit about, I think Lauren really hit the nail on the head about why they would try to do that. But like, let's get past Bannon's point or Trump's point. What do you think the average American is thinking and when they support this ban?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was a cornerstone of the campaign, you know?
Well, that was the Muslim ban. This is the Muslim ban? Because yeah. I'm not
People
exactly
are calling
sure.
it a Muslim ban because it's from countries that are predominantly Muslim.
It's a Muslim ban, and you know it.
Well, yeah. Lauren's point is good, though, because it's countries that are predominantly Muslim, and then there was a clause in the ban that said people of minority religions could
yeah.
still come. Well, mm-hmm. it didn't say Christian. The word Christian.
Trump did say that. Trump said that.
Trump said it, but in the actual legislation, it never said the word Christian, yeah. if you, like, control F'd it. But,
so it was like implied, essentially. Yeah. Like, if you're Christian, it's cool.
I wonder, you know, another way that I was thinking when I was thinking about this and when I read some of the clauses, what about a way to get around that would be like, could that if we subdivided like Shiite versus Sunni religious sects and like made one the dominant religion, like Shiite Muslims were dominant and Sunni Muslims were the minority, would then allowing Sunni Muslims into the country be a way to at least get around like a certain percentage wise of the population being through the ban? I mean, it might be a way to get some people who are in, it's not important anymore, but I thought that was like, oh, maybe we can get around that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know.
Better minds than me thought that.
I mean, you're talking about appealing to people who think that anybody from any kind of part of that,
right.
You know, like they think Hindus are Muslims. They don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's
Sikhs.
Just, yeah.
It's like, it's not Christian, so it's Muslim.
Yeah. It's not right. Christian, it's not Jewish.
So it's Muslim, yeah.
You know,
and like, do you feel like people that you know are afraid of Somalians? Like, I don't even know. Somalis is
I think it's Somalians.
Probably word.
Somalians,
yeah.
Fuck, I just delete that. Don't worry. I'll make myself sound a little smarter. Like, do you feel like people are afraid of? I mean, obviously they're afraid of Iranians and Iraqis, but Somali, like Sudanese people, like they're afraid of the Sudanese people.
I think a lot of times people just, especially. Not to generalize, but I'm going to. People from Middle America, it's kind of like the unknown, and everybody from the Middle East is just kind of grouped together. Like, it's not like they're differentiating between the different countries. Like, I don't think I could draw a map of the Middle East and like label the countries. So you just kind of say, oh, you know, the Middle East in general, and that's just, it's unfamiliar. You're lumped in there. That's where terrorists come from. Middle East.
I mean,
what about Israel? Should they throw Israel on the list? Like, do you think maybe they are? I mean, actually, a lot of these people are probably.
I don't know. Possibly.
Trump has also been accused of being anti-Semite in the last couple of weeks, so maybe he would be fine adding Israel to that. I don't know.
But I think he'd have a lot more backlash.
He's good friends with Bibi, so he keeps saying it.
Well, he says that he's the least anti-Semitic person anyone's ever met. So there you go. And the least racist, by the way. So
obviously.
Huge anti-racist. Huge. I mean, a lot of these countries. Okay, so I feel like they could. I don't want to help the backward people pass this legislation, but I feel like they could have done this in a different way and framed this in a different way. Be like, these are severely war-torn areas that not religious based, but there's a lot of strife and pain and suffering in these places, and maybe there's an element of those people. I understand the United States is behind that suffering. and so that they might have cause to attack him. But sadly,
well, that would require us to take responsibility.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I was just going to say. Like, that would require us admitting that, hey, maybe we did something wrong. Maybe we caused this.
Yeah. I mean, Yemen is fucked up right now. Yeah. Yemen is in horrible situation. Sudan, I mean, for 20 years, but then, you know, South Sudan is basically collapsing. Syria, obviously, everyone knows, is in terrible situation. Somalia, you know, is not in a good situation, although they're relatively stabilized, but now they're back to sort of where they were, you know, and Libya and, you know, Iraq, obviously, we've decimated. Like, these countries, Iran, I don't know why anyone would want to come here from Iran. It seems like paradise from what I can understand, but, you know, it just, like, obviously, these countries are really fucked up. And if we recognize that they're fucked up, like, why are they fucked up? Because we helped create a situation in which this would happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I mean, the reality of the situation is that Bannon, I mean, hasn't been really, you know, he hasn't been very secretive about the fact that it's a culture war. It's a religious war. He doesn't, you know. This is us versus them.
Right.
He wants to wipe these people off the face of the planet. He's not been quiet about that. He hasn't been like danced. He hasn't danced around it. That's the case. So he's doing whatever he can, you know, maybe even to just provoke them, like we were saying, like, oh, get them to attack us. I don't know. I don't know what goes on inside that fucking.
That's a good point. I mean, obviously, you know, they can't be afraid of actual real attacks from these people because there haven't been any. So maybe it's to provoke an attack from these people and be like, look, we don't want these people. Maybe it's to heighten the possibility of there being someone from the Muslim world who doesn't want, who sees us as, who sees the U.S. I don't want to put myself in these people's lives. Yeah. Who sees the U.S. as, you know, the harbingers of, like, this, you know, this negative anti-Muslim world. So maybe then
the government did do that. The government did put these countries in war-torn situations, and now we're saying, hey, you can't come here, even though we fucked up your whole normal.
Yeah. I mean if people look into the history of these places, it's like, it's not like some conspiracy theory bullshit, like Iran, Iraq, the United States were responsible for the situations. Syria, it's direct.
There's actually Yemen. This like documentary I just watched. I believe it's called Hypernormalism.
Yes, I
it's
watched
BBC
that.
On YouTube for free. Check it out if you want to know. I watched it. It's like 3 hours long, so it's a commitment. But it's really, really fucking interesting. I learned a bunch about it. And it
can
literally...
you break it down for 3 minutes? Because I'm not watching 3 hours of BBC bullshit.
No,
it's
a lot.
No, it's a lot. But
there's a lot to do with Libya.
And it's also broken down in 7 parts. So you don't have to watch it all at once. You can watch like a part.
Which is the best part? Can I skip to the best part?
Just watch it.
You guys are fucking difficult, man. Listen, I will watch it, and then I'll come back on the show and tell you which one of the 7 fucking hours of BBC bullshit you need to watch. Because that's the kind of host I am. You're welcome. Okay, any last thoughts on the ban? I mean, one thing I think about the ban is you had more people going to JFK without needing to go to JFK in the history of their lives. And people showed up in numbers, and I think it was impressive, the resistance that came out against it. You know, normal, everyday, average people. And they shut the ban down, you know, and I think the courts felt the pressure from that. And maybe that was what that Bannon wanted us to do, but, you know, people didn't wait around. They didn't fucking wait for it to pass. They went out that night.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, people are literally fighting to get to the airport
because
they tried to shut down the air tram, and then they realized they legally couldn't. Like, I know a few people that were out there and they bought tickets. It's like, wait, like, the cops are trying not to let them. Like, but this is my ticket. This is your job to, like, help me to get through.
Yeah.
So they had to let them through. They had to, like, usher the protesters through.
That's awesome.
Because you had to buy, like, a $7 ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, in part, like, so many people, it's a big thing nowadays, and I guess it's always been, but, you know, the average American is always trying to quiet the voice of dissent, always, and the more people go out and protest, the more people get pissed off and become divisive over it. You know, even if they're maybe for the cause, they don't want to see people protesting. They don't want to see people disrupting the norm. So I think you're going to see a split between, you know, what people are going to be considered extreme, if that makes any sense. And maybe people who kind of care are going to say, fuck that, I don't want to be associated with it. It could be part of a plan. I don't know. I mean, not to get conspiratorial or whatever,
I
mean, but
I don't know if it's
trying to be conjecture.
Yeah, it's just hard to sort of get meta about it. I don't think it's conspiracy. It's just meta about it.
I mean, at least here in New York City, I think people are going to go up in arms when they realize that, like, what, 2/3 of the bodegas are going to close here once you stop letting immigrants come through. And on top of that, most of the people making your dollar pizza are immigrants. So dollar pizza will go away. Right. Once that all happens, people, at least in New York City, are going to be up in arms without their bodegas and their dollar slice pizza.
I also think that it has forced Americans to realize the importance of diversity. And for the first time in what I remember is people talking about the value of diversity beyond the direct economic reign of it, you know. And I think, you know, these talks of more people know what a sanctuary city is now than 3 years ago. And I think that people realizing they live in a sanctuary city, okay, maybe there's like a, like more of a split, and then we have a little more red over here and blue over there or whatever the fuck. But whatever, I don't need to live by backward motherfuckers, so that's fine with me. I want to live in a sanctuary city. So all power to the immigrants. Fuck all the borders. Get down. All right, that's the end of the episode. Thank you all for getting down. I hope you all dug what we were talking about. I hope you all got a little bit of a better perspective on what's happening. I think that both Steve and Lauren helped me understand it a little bit better and really refreshed my perspective on these things. So I feel like this was already a success. Hopefully you can agree with that as well. If you dig what we're doing here at Dispatches, please go to our Facebook page. Give us a like. You can holler at Steve or Lauren or me over there, Dispatches with Me Underground, on Facebook or on Twitter at DFT Underground. Those are the best ways to get hold of us. I strongly want to encourage you to go to the website. Make sure you subscribe. If you're so inclined, leave a donation. It's a huge help to us. If you're not in a position to do that, there is a merch page there, so you can buy a t-shirt, and that also is helpful to us here at Dispatches just to keep this podcast maintaining and so on. If not, don't worry. The show is free. You can download it every week. Go to our website, dispatchfromtheunderground.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, yada, yada, yada. Are people still saying that? Is that a little bit dated? Okay, well, you know, then I don't know a better term for that. Et cetera. Et cetera seems a little dated too, motherfuckers, so I don't know what to tell you. I want to thank you all for getting down every week. We will be back in 2 weeks. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any shows that we might put up in the process. And, yeah, hope you all maintain under this Trump fucking craziness we got going on. We'll try to hold your hands to walk through it together. Either way, get out there and protest. See you in the streets. Till then. Get down.